This is Walter Bay, who is the founder of Twin Galaxies.
So I am the beleaguered referee who's caught in the middle of all this. And it seems that nowadays, passions seem to run high for not only this game title, but for a lot of game titles, as people are really getting into competitive gaming. Competitive gaming is becoming a big deal. Steve and Billy, who's not here, are involved in the highest profile, I guess we'll have to call it rivalry, of any gaming situation anywhere in the world across all genres. Even though you hear about people getting $100,000 in a single contest, or having $1 million a year in, you know, earnings or winnings from being a professional gamer, those all pale beside what is going on in this rivalry because of the amount of media attention that's been given to it. And also, people are psychologically and emotionally getting involved in this situation. So it's very interesting. The individual situation, I mean, the movie is over, but the dynamics and the drama continues onward, much to my dismay.
I can second that.
And so I have, I mean, Ed and I argued a lot. I have all sorts of problems with the way they did the script, but the thing is that I recognize that it's an extraordinary thing about two extraordinary people. And I'm trying to do my best, being unbiased in the middle. This is real hard because I'm surrounded by now a lot of people who are very upset about this thing about the rivalry, about that thing about the competition, or that thing about the movie. So it's an amazing adventure that probably will have books and movies made on it about what happened after. But the thing I need to say is that I recognize Steve as an extraordinary competitor and a very good person who I sincerely like a lot. We have differences about things, you know, like some of the stuff that we have to agree and happen that way. But the thing is that when you get cut down to the reality of Steve Wiebe, I said it right that time, it's Wiebe. Steve Wiebe. Well, by the way, I got blamed a lot for saying Wiebe, but then a lot of people have been saying that for your whole career.
Yeah.
Why beat up the referee because he calls him Wiebe? So we're trying to sit in a position where we're unbiased, completely neutral, esteemed, and really at the same time. And that's one heck of a ride, I'll tell you that. Okay, and that's my story. And I'll be talking a lot more about a lot more things tomorrow night when Steve goes for the world record tonight.
You are a video game addict as well.
Not really. I don't play too much at all.
Well, actually, for tomorrow night's attempt, have you been practicing, or what's been going on with you lately?
I've been practicing. So last night, I just played a game in the garage. I got 1,004,000, so I feel like I can.
Woo!
Two hours. So. But you never know. I'll have about a few hours to go after this, right? So we'll see what happens.
You know, one of the things that my background is in sports. Played it my whole life, and that's kind of what my day job is. I work for ESPN in my day job, and one of the things that I find fascinating, and I know there's, I can't really see everyone, but I'm sure there's guys and girls who are in my age group who our first connection to computers and gaming was through these great old games where you had to set a quarter up on the screen and go play. And for my money, and the reason that Seth and I were so intrigued, the director Seth Gordon and I were so intrigued by this story, was because it spoke to us as competitors. And we always thought of this as a sports story. As a matter of fact, Sports Illustrated called this the sports movie of the year for 2007. And one of the things that when you watch tomorrow night when Steve is playing, you may have played Donkey Kong years ago, you may have it on your Wii or whatever, and you may go play, you may have it on MAME or something where you go play it, but when you watch him, even if you haven't played, it will be really easy to recognize how talented Steve, and if you ever get a chance to see Billy play live, or many of the other gamers who play on these great old titles, you don't have to know the game to know how great they really are. And you will see it tomorrow night at the competition. It really, you know, we were fearful as filmmakers. How do you present something that isn't baseball or football? How do you make it feel important? And what we were very lucky to find out was when you watch Donkey Kong and you watch one of the best in the world play it, it makes sense. It is compelling. It is amazing. So I think you guys are in for a treat tomorrow night when Steve is really in his groove and going for a high score. It's pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah, when you people come there tomorrow night, and I'm expecting, of course, all of you to come, you know, Steve will actually be representing both himself and Billy in terms of the skill set he's going to be demonstrating. And when they demonstrate the skill set, Ed and I are going to be doing color commentary on it, like we're doing a football broadcast or something. So it'll be interesting. Yes, the Donkey Kong's on the sidelines or something like that. And essentially, I've been thinking a lot about this. I would say that, at least in the advanced boards, there's easily 10 times that there's close calls per board. And we can average that across, 117 screens?
Like
117 screens sent this. So maybe there's over 1,000 chances. And think, and he has room to only make 4 mistakes in the course of 117 boards, about maybe 1,200 chances or something like that. And what are the statistics for the best shortstop in a season? You know? I mean, shortstops make, 10, 12, 20, 30 mistakes in
a
season?
No, 30 in their
single
way. Yeah, it's about 5 for a major.
Yeah, and so Steve has to do better than maybe the best historical statistics for the top shortstop in baseball history. He can only mess up 3 times, and the 4th time it's all over. So that's very significant, and that applies to Billy. Both of them are on the same high level, you know, of the play performance, and so they can't afford to make mistakes, and that's why this is so hard. Now, we'll talk about that in depth tomorrow night. In particular, you have to realize that for Steve to break this record, because it's now amped up so high, he has to constantly push himself into the zone of danger, nonstop, essentially every single board, for him to end up with a score that will be on the level of a new world record. So it's a big endeavor, and so that's why I think we should get him right now.
Strategy has changed? Do you feel like your game has changed?
Well, with trying to keep amping the score up, like Walter said, yeah, you have to keep finding new ways of getting points, because the kill screen comes at that 170 board no matter what, and finding those points involves putting yourself in danger. So that's what the key is, but there's a fine line between how much danger you can allow and then surviving in the kill screen. So that's where the key is. Right? You got to get to the kill screen and also survive all this danger. So
the drama.
Go ahead.
The drama that's been brought to gaming from Billy and Steve bringing the score up this level is very tremendous. That there are now so many other high scores falling in the world of high score gaming, and also so many more people getting involved in Donkey Kong that you are actually the first group to hear this. So we've been in discussions with a lot of important groups, and there is going to be an official Donkey Kong World Championship for the first time ever. And based on the information so far, it could very well be at the Mall of America. So we'll see.
Enjoy. Can I come film it? I thought
you were going to play it. So the thing is, there's a survival tactic involved in that too, because I would love to get rid of all the problems of rumors and concerns and finger pointing and people doubting other people's scores. I would love to see everybody who's significant, which now is about 15 people. There are about almost 15 people who can reach the skill screen, the kill screen, this kill screen. And so it's really a thing of where we're going to have, what do we do in the WWF?
Donkey Kong Smackdown. Kill screen where you get.
Kill screen, that's it. That's what it's called. The subtitle would be Kill Screen Redemption. Okay, there you go. So that's what's planned. We're going to have the first ever. They didn't do a Donkey Kong World Championship back in 1981 when it came out. And part of it was because games were so popular so suddenly that they really didn't have their thinking hats on too well back then. And it didn't dawn on them that there could be like a Donkey Kong World Championship. And also they were so busy shoveling the coins out of the coin boxes that they didn't care if they didn't have a Donkey Kong World Championship. So here we are now, almost 30 years later, having the first official Donkey Kong World Championship. I hope you come. And I hope everybody comes. I hope everybody who's significant in this, from Billy to Steve to the famous Donkey Kong player Ed Cunningham.
So sorry. So Steve, your life's changed a little bit since the movie came out, right? In fact, I ran into you at the Los Angeles airport last week because you were coming back from being part of a movie, right?
Yeah, like Vince Vaughn has seen King of Kong and is a huge fan of it. He was part of getting Seth Gordon, the director of King of Kong, to direct his new movie that will be out next November called Four Christmases. So I was in a scene, a few scenes. I'm actually Reese Witherspoon's brother-in-law, married to Kristen Chenoweth. You know who she is. And I'm in a scene where I'm playing this Donkey Kong downloaded on Wii on a chair, and then Kristen's trying to hand me the baby, and I'm like looking at the screen. Okay, give me the baby. I'm still playing along. So it's kind of funny how it's a little...
Not much of a stretch.
There's not natural.
There's so much acting involved.
Yeah, this is the
answer. Do you have any lines?
I didn't have any lines. I'm just kind of a guy in the background. My name's Jim in the movie. And there's one scene where I'm in the back, in the room playing Donkey Kong, and the baby spits up, and Vince and Kristen are yelling, Jim! And I'm just playing, I'm looking. Yeah! I keep playing my game.
But you're also still teaching, right?
Yeah, so I think my acting career is over.
You never know. So are you still excited about the game, or is the passion over for you a little bit?
I still enjoy playing. It's still an all-time favorite. Best game ever made.
He has to be serious about it to be trying to go for a world record. Yeah. Because I'll tell you this. You know, when you get up to that stellar level where you potentially could break a world record, it takes so many hours of playing, but it takes so many hours of practicing to be up on that level, to perform on that level. So for him to be here to try and break the world record is a huge investment of prior practice time. And so practice time on the level that it could, you know, make marriages fall apart.
Counseling goes a long way.
That's actually an interesting idea for a future job, a person who counsels people who have video game habits, how they affect marriages and stuff like that.
And I heard you guys were working on a project about this movie, another one?
Yeah, some of you may have done some research before you came in to see the film. When we were in editing on this, we had followed a lot of different stories, there was a great story about Miss Pac-Man, there was a great story about Hubert, which is represented a little bit here, Doris Self, the lovely lady who unfortunately is no longer with us. Doris passed away last year, but we had chased all of these great stories, but all along the way we realized that we had found a group of people that were worthy of not just a documentary, but a based on a true story film. And so when we did the deal to distribute this film through Picture House, we also did a deal with their parent company, New Line, which is a Time Warner company, to remake this into a scripted, based on a true story film. Of course, we were stuck in mud with the writers' walkout, but they're back. You know, New Line is going through a restructure, which in an odd way may actually benefit us in a couple of different ways, but we are currently having a script written based on this story, we hope in the next year to be filming this story with A-list actors and people involved at a very high level. You know, Seth, the director of this film, has gone on, and because of this movie and because of where he had positioned himself, has been put in some very important rooms, including the one that allowed him to direct Four Christmases, which is a humongous Christmas film that will come out next November. And he laughs all the time and he wonders if Donkey Kong really gave him that opportunity. And it did. So, we're pursuing that. But it's all based on the script. You know, we ended up at New Line for a couple of different reasons. But the biggest one was, we did everything we could to bring honor, like Walter has dedicated his life to the pursuit. And that it could have been easy to kind of point a camera and allow people to say, oh wow, look at these eccentric people who have this passion that I don't connect with. And both Seth and I connect with this passion from a competitive level, from a gaming level. And so we did everything we could to connect with that passion and show it in its truest light. And I think that ultimately, I hope what we presented was in honor of this pursuit. And we didn't want to be with someone who wanted a big, broad comedy where people get kicked in the groin. We wanted people who saw this as a real endeavor and that real actors need to be involved so that when you go to see it, you can suspend your disbelief and go along for the journey instead of, you know, somebody throwing a dodgeball at someone's face. You know, that's just not what we envision, and they don't. So it's a huge, huge challenge, but luckily we're in a place that I think gives us the best chance to allow a truthful story to be told.
Maybe we'll have that screening at 6:09 next year. We have a question.
Oh yeah. First, I want to say really enjoyed the movie. Thought you did a great job. But my favorite scene in there was watching, kind of like looking back while he's playing and he's drawing on the screen, doing some analysis. And I just wonder how much analysis really goes in to improving your skill, or does it just come down to, you know, every night you're just on it?
Comes to muscle memory, some of it. Yeah, you get burned by a certain barrel being thrown, and once you get touch the stove enough times, you get burned and you stop doing that behavior. So, but a couple times when I filmed it, I would actually review the game film, kind of like a football player, slow down it in slow motion and see what I could do to improve. So there is analysis. Yeah, it's not always you're drawing on the screen right when it's happening, but you think about it often. We're not playing it.
How long do you have to play? Like, how many minutes into a game before it becomes interesting for you?
Probably around 200. Once I get around 250, 300,000, and I feel the momentum, that's when I. Good question.
How long is that into a game?
That's probably 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
So the first half hour, you're just going in. And
yeah, pretty much the first four levels, you're just kind of going through the motions. You know, if you die early to start, you just kill them off and start again. So there's no intent.